Welcome to the Fully Expressed Podcast.
We are your hosts, Samantha and Karenna.
This is a show where we invite you into your fullest expressed self in life, relationships, and business. We believe that if you crave more, you are meant for more. There is room for all of us to be fully expressed.
Along with the show, we've created a virtual community to connect you with fellow listeners. Make sure to check out the Fully Expressed Community membership. You'll find the link to join in the show notes and on our website.
So excited to see you there.
Enjoy this new episode. Welcome back to another episode of the Fully Expressed Podcast. I'm so excited to introduce to you our newest guest. Her name is Alexis Frank. She is a life coach and the creator of life and business coaching for eldest daughter entrepreneurs. After a decade of trying to fit into corporate boxes that never felt right, she decided to ditch the rules. Now she helps leaders and specifically eldest daughters break free from outdated expectations, align with their true selves, and unapologetically build their lives and the businesses they deserve.
Woo! Look at me go.
Look at you, girl.
Is she fully expressed or what?
Yeah.
I was like, all the way. Here you read your bio when you send your info. And also I could see you on Instagram and I'm like, this girl literally lives by her own rules. And if there are rules, maybe there are no rules.
There are none.
There's,
was that the Matrix? There is no spoon.
Yeah, there is a spoon.
But we're so excited to have you here. I would love to hear how your journey got to this place of like, what does it look like to live like no rules? And you talk so much about the eldest daughter, which I'm also the eldest daughter. So I'm excited to like learn from you and what that means and why you specifically speak to the eldest daughter.
Yeah. So the journey with the eldest daughter has probably been about a year old.
Okay.
And it started from a place of needing to be more specific. And I now have like the nichiest niche of all niches. And I used to hate that idea, but I was really trying to figure out who is this woman that I'm trying to help because she's so specific. And I was doing market research for a program that I was creating. And I went back and I was like, wait a minute. And I'm self-projected in human design. So I pop on a voice note and I'm just yammering at myself. And I'm like, wait a minute. I think it's the eldest daughter. And then I went back and I asked all of the women who I had interviewed for this market research. I was like, what's your birth order? 80% of them were the eldest daughter. Wow. And I was like, well, that's it, right? Like it was so easy. And I think about the fact that even though I'm actually the youngest in my two sibling unit, I'm the only daughter, which by default makes me the oldest daughter.
I'm the only daughter too.
And it's the same thing because it's like it falls into the expectation is put on you. The expectation to be, the expectation to not only succeed in professional arena, but also in like a domestic arena too. It's like, oh, you have to take care of other people, cook, clean, do all these things. But also you should probably be a doctor or a lawyer, and whether anybody says it out loud or not, the family legacy and name is riding on you. And this expectation comes at you from the time you're able to walk. And by the time you're 7 years old, you don't even know who you are, who you want to be, because everybody else has told you what you should be or who you are supposed to be or how you should act. And then you look up one day and you're like, wait a minute, I don't even know, like, or trust myself. And this comes deeply into entrepreneurship because a lot of business coaches talk about, oh, you have to build that know, like, and trust factor. And I'm like, but you don't know, like, and trust yourself. And I see it so much in reflected in low prices, in this scarcity of, will people see me? This idea that I have to work 80 hours a week to succeed in order to become something so that I don't let other people down. And it's this heavy burden. And then for the eldest daughters like me, who then are now parents, well, damn, now I got to keep, you know, kids afloat. Now I'm desperate to not fuck them up the way that I was screwed up.
Yeah, that's true.
And now you're hovering.
Yeah.
And you're like, and with my eldest daughter, she's a mental projector. So she's the closest thing there is to a reflector without being one. And so now I'm over here like, you don't stop parenting. You mind your business. Take care of yourself. But also trying to honor everything that she is. And then it's like there's trauma over here, but then empowerment over here. And how can I use this natural leadership that I have to actually create wealth for myself, to create happiness and fulfillment for myself, and realize that the rule book was designed by someone who wanted to keep other people in boxes? And I just don't do that. It's just not my thing.
Okay, so there's so much to peel back in what you just said. I do want to clarify one thing, though. So you said eldest daughter. Is that also the only daughter of the family?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so either you're the only daughter, but you have three or four brothers. It's still only the eldest daughter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the rest of it makes sense. I just want to clarify.
Yeah, by default, because you're the only one. So that mm-hmm. makes you the same way. It's like, oh, if we had like a woman president, oh, she would have been like the first, Black woman president. She would have been the first woman president, right? Like the nuance is there, but when you have I have three older brothers, but think about how your three older brothers are probably being treated compared to what they're asking of you.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Flow. It's interesting because I have one older brother and in my whole life it was all about him. Mm. And he went to law school, like they wanted him to be an attorney, and my mom wanted me to marry someone wealthy.
Mm.
Like that was her vision because she grew up very poor and mm-hmm. she worked really hard, but like it was interesting because she didn't see that same thing in me. Mm. But then now as an adult, I'm like the mom to my whole family.
Yeah.
And that's actually what I think is like what you're speaking to was projected on me unknowingly. Mm-hmm. It just didn't really arrive or arise until I was older.
Yeah.
And I'd also say like you've talked about this so much, like where you have felt like you've always been super creative mm-hmm. and you always felt like you had to be put in these boxes.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
Successful. So I think you still felt it.
Yeah, she did also tell me I'd be a good lawyer. She never was like, you'd be a great artist, which is what I wanted to hear. She was like, you'd be such a good attorney. I'm like,
I was definitely – I think what's interesting is like I definitely fit what you're talking about for sure. I mean, I was the eldest daughter. I definitely took on all those things of like, I'm responsible for my mom. I'm responsible for my sister.
Mm-hmm.
I do feel like the legacy piece that doesn't show up. Like my parents are both entrepreneurs. Like no part of them have ever pushed onto me that I am responsible for taking my dad's accounting business and financial mm-hmm. business. He's never said that. But there is this like deep belief mm-hmm. that I would say that runs in like, because he's giving me so much, I'm responsible for taking it to that next level. Mm-hmm. Or I feel like almost like because he's done so good for me, like I want to do even better. And I also come mm-hmm. from like parents that immigrated here, right? So like mm-hmm. I'm first generation born here. And so there's a lot of that too.
Yeah.
That feels like responsibility. And I'm just so curious, like as I'm talking about this, I'm going to go reach out to my sister and be like, do you feel that way too? Because mm-hmm. she's younger than me by 2 years. So I don't know if she feels that same pressure.
Yeah.
But I do feel that same, like I have felt, and this is constantly something that I'm working on my own, is mm-hmm. like this financial pressure to like figure it out on my own, have it all together, show up. Because not only do I not want to fail myself, but I also feel this responsible to my family.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting. And I think about this all the time, and it's something that I'm so glad that we're talking about today.
Yeah, it's such a tough break. And I've done other podcasts with women who aren't the eldest daughter, and they're like, I just don't feel this the way that you do.
Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, they're like, I don't get it, but I can see why.
Yeah.
It is this thing. And I think it helps them gain perspective for their clients because they can't necessarily relate to them in this specific modality, but it helps them see, okay, this is a burden that they're really feeling. Because, and I think too that if the shoe fits, wear it. Because I've had plenty of people be like, well, I'm, you know, the youngest of four daughters, and for some reason I feel this burden. And it's like, your birth order sometimes doesn't always dictate which one of the children your parents decide that is they're going to be the one.
Yeah.
So again, if the shoe fits, wear it. But for the most part, it is this first daughter that the hopes just get hung on. And you're right. It's this like unspoken thing of like, well, she was born capable. And because she was born capable, then she has to exceed these expectations. She has to, they just put them on you. And it's very difficult to walk with.
I used to laugh because I'm like, nah, my dad has never said this. Like, you're the son of our family. But he's never said that in his words, right? But I've always been like, it's almost like he feels like I'm the son of our family. Like, no one can do it all, you know, in some way. So it's so interesting to feel that. And that's what I want to talk about. Like, it's not so much that they had to directly say that you are responsible and I'm putting this pressure on you. Mm-hmm. It sounds like it's also something that we've energetically put on ourselves unconsciously and subconsciously and have made these stories to believe that these are true, even though our parents are doing the best that they can and mm-hmm. they're just trying to show up in the best that they can. But there is something about us taking that on.
Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with some of the upbringing that you're talking about. So like the eldest daughter to immigrants is also an entirely an entirely different story. And then for me, being the eldest daughter to narcissists, has its own take on things, because it wasn't unspoken. There was this abrasive way of me being emotionally responsible for my mother and her behavior, mm-hmm. and making her feel like, well, I have to be her friend. I have to make sure she's okay. Did she have a bad day? I should probably ask about her. And then this is a whole entire other burden of, is my mom okay? Is she all right? Do I need to do something for her? And that builds into an entirely different level of, now in my business, I'm coddling people. I'm trying to be their mom. I'm attracting people that don't want to pay my rates because they see me as someone who can like make them feel better, as opposed to empowering them out of whatever it is that they're feeling, and constantly having to go deep in myself like, wait a minute, I am not my mom's mother. And that just added an entirely different layer. And there's so many different nuance within the eldest daughter that I see everywhere. But for the most part, we all have this feeling of, it has to be me, mm-hmm. whether it's unspoken or not. And I long to release my clients of that because they're so powerful. Mm-hmm. And they've shoved themselves in this box that they never asked to be in. And they don't even realize that they are in. And once they explore who they really are, once they explore what is available to them, once they explore just being able to have money and not feel like they have to give it to other people or take care of family or pick up the phone when people call out of obligation, but out of, I'm so glad I get to hear from you today. Just changing that up completely changes their power dynamic and it just expands them.
Yeah. I've lived this, breathed this in my life. So I'm like, preach, sister. It's so good.
It's so interesting too, because for me, like, I still relate to this so much, but it showed up just a little differently, like almost on the opposite spectrum, where I feel like my mom had a lot of expectations of me when I was younger. And then my brother really became the sole focus. And even now he's going through a difficult time and he's still the obsession. But it's almost like she's like, well, I don't have to worry about you. Yep. You're fine. So now then that's where I became kind of the mom to everybody, because she's like, you're emotionally stable. You don't need my attention. You don't need my mothering. I'm going to obsess all over on this person. So yeah, it almost showed up like in that flip way of, instead of like outwardly being like, you're responsible, it's like a silent, good luck to you. Like,
yeah. And then there's this innate feeling of neglect, if you will.
100%.
Right? Because my brother's the same. He's older than me, but he's always ridden the starving artist, you know, trope. And my mom clung to him because she was a public school teacher. So when I joined the Army at 17, I was already making more money than she ever did as a teacher. And she let me know that. Oh, you're always making, you make so much more money. And I was like, hold on a minute now.
Yeah.
I went to the Army because I didn't want you to have to take out student loans in my name. She made me fear debt so badly. Everything was scarcity. But she had no problem. You know, my brother was like, I want to do dance. I want to do this. And that, I'm like, that's fine. Go for your dreams. Like, who am I to say anything about it? But I felt like he took up so much of her presence and her energy. And it was expected that I had my act together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started to spend a lot of my hard-earned money on them because they were my family. And we struggled so hard coming up, this, that, and the third. But then where it can differ with a lot of families was then that became an expectation. My kindness and my willingness to give and share from them became expected, that this is what I was supposed to do. And it took me a really long time, I'm only talking like 2 years ago, to be like, wait a second, I don't owe y'all shit. Like, I don't have to do any of this. I don't have to do any of this. And the fact that you expect it of me, it hurts, because I had posted back in like September that I bought this beautiful house in Marietta. It's a dream house. I have like my dream pool, my kids. I love this for us. And my family, for the first time, they don't know where I live. And it was difficult for me because I would have always more than gladly given to them everything that I had. But once they dropped that expectation on me, once it became this thing of, you're supposed to do this for me, that's why I ain't want to do it no more. And that's why my in-laws get all my love now, because they expect nothing from me, but I love them and they treat me as their own. But I think so many eldest daughters struggle to come out of this feeling of, well, it's expected of me. And that's where so much of their energy is zapped. So much of their longing to do things is zapped, because they know that whatever it is they create, somebody's going to want a piece of it. And they have to come out from that in order to truly experience the abundance that is available to them without those expectations.
It's like I think about this is like giving from a place of love, not for their love.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would love to peel that back just a little bit of like, how do you support someone that's in that space? Because as someone who has navigated that, that's like such a touchy area with family, mm-hmm. I think, and with like mothers and, you know, especially if you're someone that's really close to your mom, or like you and your mom are like besties and, you know, there's moments of like that things are really good. But then all of a sudden there is moments of expectation that you're like picking up on. You're like, oh, you expect this of me. And maybe I don't have the capacity to give it to you right now. So you're getting angry at me for not giving it to you. So how do you navigate that in between in those conversations with people that are really close to you? But then also you want more of them, but you realize that they're creating this expectation between the two of you.
Yeah, that's a really great question. It's interesting because I had a conversation with one of my clients last night. And so she's a two line in human design. So she likes to hermit, and I gotta pull her out of her cave like every other week. I'm like, hey, you ghosted us for a minute. Come on back out. But it's normal. My two line clients they're a little bit of a struggle because I have to go find them. But for her, it's heavy right now on her family needing her. And she was like, I understand that my family needs me. And I mirrored that back to her. And I was like, is that something that's actually true? Or is that something that is only true because you allow it? And naturally, of course, it took her an hour to answer because I'm like, you settle with that for a second. Because I know that I kind of went for the jugular right in that moment. And she has a struggle because a lot of her family is elderly. A lot of them are sick. And she feels like, you know, I have to help these people, even though half of them have been completely disrespectful of the way that they have treated her and completely ignored her feelings for the majority of her life. And so what I do inside of my work is I combine this kind of conscious level change in thought with somatic practice like breath work, EFT tapping. We need to go into the body because your subconscious mind dictates everything that your conscious mind sees. Your entire reality mm-hmm. is dictated by your subconscious mind.
Yep.
So you are acting this way because your subconscious mind believes that this is the safest way for you to be.
Mm.
Even though it is not healthy for you, it is what you know. And the unknown is so scary. The unknown, I don't know what could happen. It could be worse. And we have to retrain your subconscious mind to choose yourself because that's not what you believe is safe right now.
We do this thing.
Yes, I love it.
Our, like, energy hits. Keep going.
Yeah, keep going. And so that's why I literally created the work it is that I do, because I can talk at you all day. I can motivational talk your ear off. So many of my clients are like, yeah, she's preaching, cool. But you're not going to do anything about it to change? Mm-hmm. That's where we have to add the subconscious work in. And that's where it has to be pushed. Your body always remembers everything. And we have to retrain it.
I share this at all my talks. It's my favorite statistic. It says, I learned this in my somatic course. It was like, when you do the transformation from the mind, like mindset work, reframes, inspiration, you have a 20% chance of transformation.
Mm.
And when you do it through the body and through the soma, you have an 80% chance of transformation. And it's like it's not either or, you need both, right? And so I love that you're doing that in your work because I'm like, why are you talking? I'm like, yes, girl. Because we can become so aware, right? Like your client, she's like, I understand that they're taking advantage of me. I can tell. I can see how they're disrespecting me.
Yeah.
But there is this like deep holding within themselves. They're like, I can't get myself. I can't muddle my way through to get there. Mm-hmm. And even if you try, I think sometimes you can use willpower and be like, well, fuck this. I'm gonna run away and do all this thing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do me. But then it's still gonna sit inside of you and create other things.
Yeah.
And so or show up differently or eventually self sabotage and all the things that come with it
because the intention is incorrect. Mm-hmm. If you're coming from a place of, well, fuck these people, I'm going to show them, that's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to coming from a place of pure self-love and gratitude for yourself and for everything it is that you want and you desire, that is what is sustainable. You're not going to create a habit from a place of guilt, from a place of resentment. It's going to continue to destroy you. And I push my clients so much because you can see in my marketing, I help eldest daughters become the one, the only choice. These women are a big deal and they can kind of feel it, but they don't know how to make it real. And this one client, she is the brand designer for Unprofessional Brands. She is. She's done my first brand. She's doing my personal rebrand this year. It's about to get wild. So stay tuned for that. I don't know how crazy we're about to get, but the color is about to be obnoxious. But she still fights through her own feelings of, am I worthy enough to be paid this kind of money if I'm not showing up in a pantsuit? And we already know that's not even remotely how I roll.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look at how my business is taking me places simply by being as wild. Yeah. And as unhinged and as unapologetic and as curse worthy as possible, because all these rules are made up rules and nobody fucking likes them anyway. So why do we follow them? Mm-hmm. And if I show her the continuous way that this is how you can show up and this is the opportunities that come to you, then she embodies that better for herself. But I also have to remind her, this is what you put on hold when you put other people ahead of you. This is what continues to get sacrificed. And she's a generator. If she's not having fun, she's going to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And generators are the life force. We need that. And it's that continuous push. And it's why bespoke work and why working with people like on a one-on-one level is so important. And not just going after like a one-size-fits-all kind of thing works. This, even with eldest daughters, we all have these things in common, but everybody's going to be different. Mm-hmm. And I want to be able to pull you out into your specific beauty and magnificence, because you know that you're here to be a big deal. If only you could get past these things that hold you back about being an eldest daughter.
I love that. It hits so hard too, because Corinne and I have talked about this, but I have so many passions and interests. And I mean, I'm a manifesting generator. Like, I could do like 500 different things at once. So many things. And it took a
– sustains you.
It is.
Say that.
I love it because she sends me all the Instagram, like, messages.
She hasn't dove into human design as much until I brought her in her life.
Yeah,
and I, like, send her all these things. And she also looks at mine. She's like, oh, this makes so much sense. I was like, see, keep doing all these things that really work for you because they sustain you. You're supposed to have multiple things. If you go down into one, you're going to, like, squeeze out all the juice.
Yeah, and for a long time, that whole, like, almost the opposite of you, right? Like, I'm going to pick a niche and this is my niche. I'm like, but I don't fit a niche. Like, help me. And the second I just embraced all of it, I was able to, like, exactly as you said, just come as my authentic self and show up. And, I think that's such valuable wisdom because – it's so easy to fall into this is how it should be or this is how I should show up. Mm-hmm. And we live in a world of shoulds, and that is like, fuck the shoulds, you know? Like,
I hate the shoulds so much.
Me too. But what I wanted to actually go backwards just a little bit, because something you said I think is really, really relatable. And I think so many people struggle with this, which is dealing with family who have hurt, traumatized or abused you, and then having to care for them because they're sick and the guilt you feel around that. So like, what do you – I wanted – because I really think that is so – I think it – I just know so many people who have had to deal with that, including like people in my family. Yeah. So what do you say to those people? Like, what is the right answer, you know? Like, because that's a hard boundary to set, you know?
Yeah, it is. I used to think that it would be impossible for me to cut my mom and my brother off. They were so heavily intertwined, especially with my children and with my husband being active duty for our entire, you know, married life and multiple deployments. I relied on them a lot for help. And I think they also took advantage of me thinking that I would never be able to say no to them. And during his last deployment, I was like, no, I don't think I will. You guys really suck. You suck really bad. Like, I tried having a conversation with my brother.
Did you actually say that?
It was way more violent than that.
I need to know. I'm like, tell me the actual details. I was like, really?
Yeah, so my brother came over. I mean, I'm cool with that from me. Thanks. You know what? Hold on. Let me have some water real quick. Because it was pretty intense. So my brother, he lives in Texas, and he visited. And at first, the last time my husband left, I was like, you know what? I'm not really on great terms with my mom, but if she's still going to help out with the kids, then she gets what she wants, which is to see the kids, and I get a break. The very first weekend she took them, she didn't tell me that my brother had been in town. And so when he rolled up at the house, I was like, who's this man getting out of the car? Whatever. Like, I was so confused.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I'm in town for the weekend. Like, let me know if we can talk. So he wanted to know why our relationship had kind of
– Oh, you already had a strained relationship at that point.
It had deteriorated a little bit because a complete sidebar. We found out 3 years ago that we had two other siblings that we didn't know about. Yeah. One of them, she has this – she's 2 months younger than me, and she has the same exact name as I do.
Wait, hold up. What?
Wild. Her name is also Alexis.
Damn.
That's a whole other episode. wild behavior. My father is Rolling Stone.
He's like, we've used this name once. It's really good. Let's just roll with it. Let's just do it.
Just embrace it for a second. So that
I'm just waiting.
I know it's hard to casually bypass that.
Damn, he did it.
Yeah, and when I asked him, I said, why did you let the other baby mama name her daughter that, knowing that I was already here? And this fool said, I can't control what people name their kids.
Wait, what?
And I said, you're getting blocked. What is wrong with you?
That's crazy.
So, right. So, fast forward. It was my husband and I's 10th wedding anniversary. My brother posted about it, how he was so happy that we had made it to 10 years. But in the same post, he also put how proud he was of our other sister, Alexis, and the dissertation she wrote and how she was becoming a PhD and da da da. Mind you, the internet, you know, field did not know that we had this other sister. And so I told him, I said, I would have just preferred if you didn't say anything about us at all, instead of combining this post together, because nobody ever asked me or her
how you felt,
how we felt, one, about having our identities completely ripped out from underneath us when we were 30 years old, or two, you know, just what it felt like to be us. Nobody ever asked us if we were okay. So I just expressed that to him and he never responded. And so I was like, well, what? There's consequences for fucking with me. I'm just going to be honest with you. Like, this is what happens. But at this point, I told him, I said, if you want to have a conversation about why our, you know, relationship has deteriorated, you need to be open to the fact about, like, what I'm going to talk to you about. And he said that he could. And so I told him, I was like, you tend to sympathize with our mother. And I was like, I was raised differently than you. That's just how it feels. I felt really responsible for both of you guys. A lot of our childhood was about you. A few months prior, he had told me that he already envied me as a child. He thought that I was popular. He thought that I was all these things. And I was like, who was he talking about? Because it wasn't me, but that's how he viewed me. So he already kind of had this like slanted view of who he thought I was. And I was like, I just felt like I was really emotionally responsible for you guys. And I just felt like I was raised differently. And the very first thing he said was, no, you weren't. I was there. And the unhealed side of me lost it. I was like, you need to get out of my house. You need to go. And he wouldn't listen. And so to this day, I have so many regrets because my kids were there. And I was yelling at him. And I was like, I just need you to leave because you're not listening to me.
Yeah.
And then he was calling my mom. She's psycho. I don't know what's wrong with her. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, I just need you to go because you're not. He's like, we've done everything for you. And I was like, get out of my house. Yeah. Like, you cannot do this. And that was it. I haven't talked to either of them since. And during, again, the fourth deployment, one of the hardest times in my life. And I think it's important for you to know that it's not impossible for you to let these people go, because especially even if they're elder, and again, that's a conversation I had to have with my client. I'm like, your grandmother is 88. She was going to be 88 whether you were born or not. Mm-hmm. What would she be doing if you weren't here? It is not your responsibility to take care of people. You should be taking care of people because it fills you with warmth and happiness. And it comes from a place of pure joy and gratitude for everything it is that they've done for you. If you feel an ounce of obligation, you're going to build resentment. Mm-hmm. If you feel an ounce of guilt, you're going to build hatred. And that does nothing but suck the life out of you. And that energy exchange is just not equitable and it's not fair for you. And so the very first thing that I tell my clients when I'm telling them to create, I call them thick mommy boundaries, is you have to ask yourself, does this support the life that I'm creating? Every decision that I make, is the future version of me that already has this, is she acting like this? Is she behaving like this? Is she allowing people to say whatever they want to her? Is she allowing people to walk all over her, to use her, to abuse her, to take advantage of her time? If the answer is no, then the answer is no here. And that is how you become her. But you cannot become her by continuing to allow people to say whatever it is that they want for you, to continue to traumatize you over and over and over, even when you have told them straight to their face, you guys are messing with me. And they're just like, I don't care. Because people are showing you who they are. You just have to believe them.
Yeah. I feel like I want to share like a little softer story, or like a little, like not in, just like a little in between, because I think that can show up for someone that's like, well, I don't have these people that are like straight in my face doing these things. When I was going through this myself and learning how to choose myself, I distanced myself from the relationships. And I was like, I ask myself every single time, am I doing this because I want to do this? Or am I like, because I genuinely want to give them love? Or am I doing this because I feel like I have to? And just asking myself those two questions, like there was like a natural shift that also happened in my relationships where I'm like, wait, this feels so much more complete and so much more being met in relationship, because every time I give you love or every time I do something that I want to do for you, it's because I genuinely want to. And I'm not expecting you from you. I'm just doing it because I want to, not because I have to. But there was this like very interesting internal conversations for myself where I was like, I didn't even know what that line was. I didn't know, like it was kind of gray at the beginning. Every decision that I had to choose, like, is this because I really want to do this or is it because I have to, or I feel like someone's expecting something of me, which could also meet us in like a little bit of an in between. And I'm not to take away from like your story, because I'm like, it's beautiful that you had that story with your brother and that you're able to stand in that. What I heard when you were saying that too, like you were trying to show him how you felt and he didn't know how to hear you. When I think a lot of people run into in relationship, you're like, I'm telling you this is how I feel, and they're like, well, I didn't see it that way. I'd be like, you don't fucking get it.
That doesn't really matter how you see it. It's how I see it.
It's how I feel. And that's like a reminder for everyone, I think, in general, is like, it really doesn't matter how you see it. It just matters how they feel it and see it and how to do that. But not a lot of people have that skill set.
It's really difficult to, you know, emotional intelligence isn't something that everybody is blessed
with. I was just going to say, I think that's actually like one of the biggest issues in the Western world. That's all I can speak to, because I don't, I'm not in the other parts of the world, but I can speak for the Western world. It's like, there is such a huge lack of emotional intelligence, and just even knowing how to regulate your emotions or understand your emotions, or like Corinna said, like be able to say, well, I didn't see it that way, but I completely hear you. And I'm sorry that that happened to you, or that you felt that way, you know, instead of being like, oh no.
It's like, sorry, that's not how I see it, so that's not how it is.
That's not how it is, exactly.
It's just, it almost feels childish. Like when I think about it, I feel it in my body. I'm like, this feels like middle school to younger childish Corinna, that all I saw was like, no, that color is red. I swear it's red.
That's what I, that's what I think when I see all the media arguing. I'm like, it's like a bunch of little toddlers like, that's not what you said. You know?
Children. You know what I mean?
But I think if you're, we're dealing in a society, especially particularly in this country, we are dealing with a lot of adults and older adults that never regulated their nervous system. So they essentially are acting like children because they don't know
how to
act. There's no... there's no emotional difference between my four-year-old and my 71-year-old mother, because they're both throwing tantrums when they're not getting their way. Except the 71-year-old refuses to see why she's not getting her way, whereas my four-year-old is just like, I'm new here. So, like, tell me what to do. And that's the frustrating part, because I'm like, shouldn't you know by now? And there's only so much to a fault that I can hold them, because they didn't understand these things. But when somebody comes to you and says, this is how you're hurting me, and you say things like, I'm sorry you feel that way, that's when it becomes on them. That's when it becomes, and that's when it becomes your responsibility to be like, okay, this person is not making an attempt. I need to protect myself. We also have to normalize slowing down our decision making. So that we can take a step back. Somebody else's, you know, press for time, that is not my emergency. You ask me to do something and you want my answer, but I'm sitting over here like, you know, contemplating, does this support what I want? Having this moment with myself and normalize taking that time and being like, or even if you're a generator, a manifesting generator, and you're supposed to use your kind of sacral energy, you still don't got to give them an answer. Let them sweat. They shouldn't have come to you at the last possible second asking you for things. But getting your body used to saying, this is a full body response for me. This is safe. This is normal. Saying no is normal. Saying no is safe. Saying no is protecting myself. And this is how I move forward in the future. And having that and taking that time, that's really how you choose yourself.
When I was learning that myself, what people would come up to me and be like, hey, I need this done right now. Or like, can you please do this right now? Or like literally right now, and be like, and I get so mad. I feel like I don't have to do it because you said so. I'm not going to. Can you ask me like, hey, when can we work on this? Or when can we do this? You know, like make me a part of the conversation. Not just assume that I'm going to do it when you want me to do it. Because you need it done right now. And you didn't think about giving me a heads up earlier. because I have all these other things going on in my life.
And that's the importance of knowing the self. And that's the importance of other people really knowing you at the level you want to be known at. That's why even more so for me and my husband, understanding our children's human design is important. Because, again, my mental projector, her environment is so important to her. And so I kind of treat her like a reflector. So she's deciding whether or not she wants to do a duo for a dance competition next year. She doesn't have to make that decision until August. Mm-hmm. We're talking about it now.
Yeah.
I'm giving her so much time to feel it out, to understand the partner that she's potentially supposed to be, you know, partnered with. She's understanding her better. She's trying to see if this is something that she wants. Mm-hmm. I'm giving her that time. But my sacral manigend, she said, I don't want to be a hip hop anymore. I snatched her right out.
Yeah.
Because that was a full body thing for her. Now, I did tell her, she had to tell her teacher. I was like, you don't just quit. You got to go tell her that you, because you still have to take responsibility.
Yeah.
But then I have an emotional Manny Jen as well. Mm. And he just, ooh, the little wave of emotions he goes through. So when when I send him something, I'm like, you take your time.
Yeah.
You let me know when you come to your neutral.
I love this because I had to learn that with my husband. We're both manifesting generators, but I'm sacral. Mm-hmm. And learning no was so powerful for me because I say yes to so much. And I want to say yes to a lot, but I used to say yes to a lot of things I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, when it's a no, it's like an instant no. Or if it's a maybe, it's a no.
Yeah.
And for him, he's such an emotional decision maker. And he'd be like, we're done with this. I'm done with this. And I was like, okay, well, let's just take a minute here. Yeah. Let's like breathe. Let's feel this out. So I love that you're doing that with your kids. That's so powerful.
Yeah, because I mean, you understanding as a parent that inherently you're going to screw your child up somehow, right? They're not going to escape childhood unscathed. But if I can lean into them fully and help them understand that this is how they step into themselves now, perhaps I can save them some of the deconditioning process later. Like, again, my four-year-old, there's a new obsession every day that we must bring to daycare. It's this Manny-Gen thing of, here's today's obsession, I'm going to bring that. And so I'm like, I choose to ask her yes or no questions because those are going to help her go faster. And it's funny, I'll bring both of them to Claire's, the oldest and the youngest. The four-year-old, she will put everything in her basket and be done shopping in 2 minutes. My mental projector.
I like this. I think I'll come back to it.
And we're in there like 45 minutes. And it's beautiful to watch them work. And it also gives me a sense of, okay, wow, I'm not screwing momming up today. This is a really good moment.
Yeah.
And I'm not feeling like my oldest daughter is feeling whatever pressure she needs or feels like she has to have in order to do the thing.
Yeah.
And if we're not taking what we're learning and pouring it into these humans we bought here, what are we doing?
I also think they're the mirror for us. Well, I don't have kids yet, but I see it in my friends and family, and knowing astrology is like, they're also here to be that mirror for us to heal the stuff we couldn't heal until they came to show us, you know? So it's like, I think the beauty is you're honoring their individual souls, but also they're going to get to say, oh, look at like mom really worked and was conscious and like she healed herself too.
Yeah.
You know, because like we're all healing.
Yeah. And it's not something that I can say about my own mother. And it's frustrating.
And I mean, I think that's a lot of moms.
It's so many. Most of our moms come from a particular age group that like to sweep things under the rug, but it's not every mom.
You're right.
It's not.
Yeah. And I also think it's like we're up against generations, right? Like exactly, I feel like our generation, our timeline, there's something about awakening. My mom did start to find her awakening and consciousness and she started to grow because she needed it. But there's still like we're still in a transitional period, you know? Like I'm just so curious what your kids are going to say when they're like talking to you, you know? And they're like, mom, this is how I feel. And you say, honey, I get it. You know, like that just lands. And another thing that you were talking about so beautifully is like human design is giving you this like resource to be able to kind of give yourself permission to be like, oh, I see my kids differently.
Yeah.
And I also cannot wait for a world. Part of like this podcast of being fully expressed is about like not you projecting your stuff on how things should be, but versus allowing that person to blossom in the way that they are.
Yeah.
And in the Enneagram was that for me, when I started learning all these things, I was like, wow, all these people are so different.
Yeah.
And I can honor that and I can celebrate that. And I'm like, wait, I can't wait till a world where we're living and everyone's like,
I know.
They know astrology.
You know what I love you. You know what I mean?
Like,
yeah.
You're just doing you and I'm not even judging you. Like, there's no like internal projections. And I'm hoping that we can get there, but who knows if the psyche can evolve that quickly.
I wish. I hope it can. As projectors, I think we get frustrated that humanity isn't evolving at the pace that we would
want it to.
It doesn't help. I'm a September Virgo too. So I'm also always like, why aren't you doing
I'm on
the
cusp of Virgo.
But I do struggle with this. We talk about
you're
this
a Virgo moon though, so
I'm a Virgo moon. So I think about this too because it bugs me so much. Like sometimes I'm like, I'm in my little bubble, and then I go out in the real world, and I'm like, am I the alien or like are you like am I the weirdo
it's
or like us. Did I miss something? Yeah. Like
we're the aliens for sure.
And even when I started this work,
we're like,
you
this planet's messed up. Let's come down here and try to hold some frequency of love.
I got a lot of things to say to my soul when we're done here.
I love all the memes where it's like, you chose to come here and you're like, did I though? Did I?
I get frustrated when I think about that. I did another podcast earlier this week and she was like, do you believe that, you know, you intentionally signed up to have these parents and this experience? And I was like, it's not that I don't believe it. I'm having a hard time accepting it because I'm like, my soul would sign a contract to have these particular parents for whatever reason I have to learn. My soul would sign a contract to come to be on this planet right when this shift, like the human design shift, is supposed to happen in 2027.
Yeah.
I'm like, I would be here right at the beginning.
Yeah.
I would say this is what I want right now. And I'm like, I'm just still accepting it because I'm like, apparently I was a happy little blip somewhere else in the universe. And I was like, you know what we need right now for the next, you know, couple thousand years? A little torture. A couple of lessons. And I'm like, I don't get it, but that's the point of it, right?
Yeah.
Is to be like, this is what we're here to do. This is what we're here to learn. And the more that I lean into my projectiveness, the more that I lean into my own fire, the more that I lean into who I am, every day I become so much more fulfilled and so much happier that I get to be me. Because I look at other people and I'm like, they are not like me. They do not see things the way that I see them. They don't understand. They don't absorb energy the way that I do. I am so incredibly powerful. I am so strong. There is nothing I cannot do. And it feels so good. And it doesn't feel ostracizing. It doesn't feel like, oh, she's this weirdo. She's this outcast. It's like, look at all of this power that she has simply because she decided it was hers. And all of these different, you know, astrology, human design, all of these maps that we're given, they're so validating for us. And they're here to lead, you know, lead the way for us to feel as powerful. And that's just what I want for every other woman that I help to them be like, damn, I'm a bad bitch. Like, nobody can mess with me. And I get to help people in that way.
And when that lands in your body, like, that's something that's to so fight good. For. You know what I mean? I think that's like, if you're hearing Alexis talk, you're like, I fucking want that. That's possible, you know? Like, if you meant that, but then also once it lands, you're like, I fought for it and I'm not giving it up. Like, this is mine.
Yeah. This is how it gets to be. Show me how good it can get from here. Mm-hmm. It's only up from here. And so many people come into my DMs that are pretty established and they're like, how do you just say the thing that you say? How do you do the thing it is that you do? And they're looking at me with wonder. And I'm like,
you just do.
Okay. I don't do. But also, it's like, this isn't something that's unique to me. Mm-hmm. Everybody can have this, but you have to trust yourself enough. You have to know yourself enough. You have to own who you are enough. And you have to be brave enough to say, I'm going to make my money being weird. I'm going to say the thing that needs to be said. That unpopular opinion you're hoarding, probably not as unpopular, but that thing you're really thinking, that's what's going to propel you forward. And that's why I switched to helping women. Like, there's two different ways that I help women. It's like, one, get established in the confidence for their business. And then two, it's this woman who has this beautiful 6-7 figure business. People love her, but she knows that there's more. And now she's ready to take her impact to the world, right? She's ready to be Oprah. She's ready to just counsel the millions that she's here to counsel. Right? Because it feels so good. And it's like, but she knows that her next level up has to be completely different. She knows that she has to go inward to be that person for people to see. She has to be a different type of leader than she's been so far. Mm-hmm. But she knows that that's what she's ready for. And that's where she's going.
I love that.
So good.
I was doing this.
I love it. There's one more. I wanted to ask like a little bit about money, but like, is there anything you want to share about wealth before I transition it to more of you?
Wealth for me is the way that I'm dressed today is my idea of wealth. It's who I am invites me into spaces to be fully myself. Mm-hmm. And I did another podcast and she was like, you embody this new age idea of wealth identity. And it's like, it doesn't feel the same. It doesn't look the same. It's in the same respect we talk about everything. It's what feels good for you. Wealth is getting everything it is that you want, having the freedom to buy, to do whatever it is that you want. Wealth to me looks like we flew Comfort Plus to our vacation in January. And I said, oh, I could lean back and my seat came up. I said, okay, this is cool. I want more of this. Yes. And it's like exploring it. Wealth for me is being able to buy sneakers that my mom refused to pay for when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And being like, every time I sign a mastermind client, I buy myself a pair of sneakers because that makes me feel good. And it pulls me out of scarcity that, oh, well, I only signed one client this month. It's never going to show up again. It's no, thank you for trusting me. I'm trusting myself. I'm pushing my money back out so that it can come to me. Wealth isn't just hoarding. It's constantly revolving. It's recognizing that money flows easily to you as you flow it back out and that there's unlimited amounts of it, literally. Nothing is off limits to you.
I love that. We had another energetic money expert on it. And she said the same thing that like pay yourself first.
Absolutely.
And that it's like 50% out, 50% in and not hoarding. And I love that. It's like so in line.
So good.
Yeah.
So with all of our guests, we love to ask the very common question as like in your life today, where do you feel called to be more fully expressed? Is it in your life, relationships or business, anywhere?
I think for me, it's funny because this isn't a topic that comes up so often for me in particular. We talk about it randomly with my clients, but I think for me, the only place that I'm not fully expressed is in my own sexual prowess with my husband. I had a lot of traumas there from when I was in the military, and a piece of that felt like it was unsafe to be that person anymore. But everything, all of my human design, my numerology, my gene keys are written on my wall where I can see it every day. And all of those are over the quarterly personal and life goals that I create for myself. And my personal life goal for this quarter is I just want to be myself. Mm. And the only place that I don't really do that yet is in sheets. So That's probably the weirdest place that question could have gone,
it's perfect.
It's the only place that I feel that way because you see my social media, I really don't give a fuck. I'm all over the place and that is how I prefer it because that is what I show people and that's how they see what's available to me. I think I'm a lot more unhinged than a lot of business owners that I see or know. But I think it's important to recognize that there's always work to do. There's always somewhere you should be more of yourself. And it's something that I've been so open about doing for myself because I know that if I allow more of that there, then I'm going to feel, you know, more alive and open in all these other places too. And that's going to invite more money. That's going to invite more women who want to learn from me. That's going to invite all of these things. All of it is connected. You cannot compartmentalize your fullest expression. It's all together.
I love that you shared that answer because I just feel like not so many women are going to say that out loud. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And this is an area that I also had to work on with myself because that in that room, like it's such an intimate, vulnerable
It's the most state. Intimate. Yeah.
The most intimate, most vulnerable. And there's so much around that topic where either you have past traumas or no one talked to you about it, whatever that was. Yeah. And I do think that when you tap into that, like your point, it's just more water.
Manifestation magic.
More magic is going to come out. And I think as a fully expressed woman is like, yes, work on the life, the relationships, the business, and then all these other areas where you feel called. And I think when you feel that in here and you're like, okay, now it's time for me to focus on this part.
Yeah.
That's okay. And you get to fully express that too.
That's the deepest part, I think. So it's so much easier to find, I think, fullest expression outwardly. Mm-hmm. And then it's like you start peeling back the layers. And that's like the ultimate, especially like if you're really close with your partner, like that's that's the person that there's no masks, you know, like they yeah. see you the most. So, or maybe there are masks, but you don't want there to be, you know, yeah. so.
Or maybe you do.
Maybe you do.
Hey, yeah, listen, maybe you want some masks. You like put on some characters in the bedroom. Right? I don't know.
Well, okay. yeah. She may want some masks, okay?
She's like, just say I want to be a unicorn. Yeah. And then, yes. so, I don't know.
As long as everybody's okay with it, right? Yeah. But it's like, and I think too, because if I was telling my husband this yesterday, because he's a manifestor, I'm like, I can't read you the way I read other people. It's really hard. You know, like, I just don't know you. And I was like, and there's very few people for me as a projector that I want to be seen by that is not the exchange of money, right? You right. pay me for my aura now because it is powerful and it changes your life. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but you're one of the very few people that I want to feel seen by. Like, and so it's like, yeah. that's really important. Like, that's really heavy hitting. But it impacts everything. It impacts so much. I like clockwork. We'll get my Brazilian every 4 weeks and I'm gonna sit there wide on the table and we're gonna have a conversation. And I still don't feel vulnerable or exposed
yeah.
the way that I do in,
oh, yeah.
you know, your sexual relationships. And it's like, that is the ultimate freedom. That is the ultimate release to be that person mm-hmm. with your partner. And when you can feel that, everything else unfolds. And so it's like, if you're looking at me like, wow, she's completely out there and I haven't even conquered this one major aspect.
Just wait.
Just wait.
I know, right?
And just see what's available
Sex
for
magic.
You. Right?
She's going to be unstoppable.
Oh my God.
You already are.
Right?
Yeah, you already are.
I call my clients undeniable, inevitable. Inevitable is a good one.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's all of those things. You know that. It's coming.
Yeah.
It's already going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just about a matter of when I just choose yeah. to take that power and fully harness it.
Mm. Thank you so much. I feel like this conversation has been absolutely magnificent.
Yeah.
Magical.
Inevitable.
Inspirational. Inevitable. Literally, like, thank you for bringing your energy because especially in these spaces, it's just so important, but you're also just owning you. And you, mm-hmm. we have this conversation with different guests and stuff. You can feel someone's authenticity. And then when they bring it, I'm like, this just flows so much nicely. So thank you for being you.
Thank yeah. you for having me. And thank you for having this space where you encourage so many people to continue to be themselves. Because we're stepping into this new age of the focus on the self and not necessarily on the collective. And we change the collective by focusing on ourselves. And the fastest way that we do that is reaching into every part of ourself and being her.
Of course, she had a drop a mic drop moment.
I know.
And
it's what I do, baby. It's what I do.
Where can people find you?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram at @AFranklifeCoach. Threads is where I'm the absolute worst. So go there first because I do not stop on Threads if you're like, I'm just trying to do a vibe check. I'm also on LinkedIn, completely unhinged on that platform as well because LinkedIn is boring and I am not.
Literally.
So boring. It's so boring and I am not. And it's so much fun. And then I have the two programs you can work with me in, which is Audacity and the Ruthless Pursuit of Self Mastermind, which can both be found at thefccoach.com.
Amazing.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate you being here. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review and share it with a friend.
Also, we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Instagram and let us know where you feel inspired to express yourself as you embrace this next era. We are here to support you and encourage you.
See you on the next one.